Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Zvachim Lamed Gimel. We begin two lines off the top of the Amud. Referring back to the halacha we learned yesterday, Ula tells us, Bi'o b'miktsas, partial entry into the Beis HaMikdash is considered like full entry. The Gemara assumed same consequences would apply to partial entry as to full. So there's the issur of karis, right? One who does that is liable to karis punishment to that extent, because bi'o b'miktsas, partial entry, like sticking in a finger, etc., is considered entering the Beis HaMikdash. That was Ula's Chiddush. And today we have an attempt to support that halacha from a braisa. Lema, perhaps, misayale, we can support that concept with a braisa, which says, Kala smichos shehayu sham. Your typical standard smicha procedure, where the owner would lean on the animal and confess, all those smicha, you know, ceremonies that were in the Beis HaMikdash, I would apply to them the following term, takef, immediately, l'smicha shchita, right after smicha comes shchita, without much lapse of time in between. It was a successive, immediate system. Smicha, straight to shchita. That was typical. Chutz mizu, except for this one. Which one are we speaking about? The one that the Metzora would do. Who's on his eighth day? He'll bring his carbon asham. He cannot yet enter the Azorah proper itself. He must stand right outside at the entranceway called Sha'ar Niknar. He would wait there and watch his carbon be processed on his behalf. But until the carbon is brought, he's still a mechusar kippurim. He's lacking, you know, full kapara. He's lacking the karbonis. He must wait outside until that happens. But he's the owner. What happens to smicha that he must perform in the animal? The answer is he has to do it outside, and then they bring the carbon back inside to where it's meant to be shecht. That takes time. That generates, you know, an interruption, a slight gap between the smicha and the shechita. So that's one exception. In that case, you can't do tekef l'smicha shechita. Chutz mizu, except for this one, shayitza b'shar nikna, which took place at the entranceway called Sha'ar Niknar, she'en matur yachol ikanes l'sham, because the matur is not able to actually enter the Azara proper, ad shemazen olav midam chatasoy midam asham, until they process on his behalf the blood of the chatas, of the asham. Basically, he has to stand outside, do the smicha, then they bring the carbon back inside, process it, and then he's free to come in. So this supports, this is a raya to Ula's halacha, that partial entry is a problem, because otherwise, why do we have to bring the animal outside to the owner? Leave the animal right inside. Let the owner just stick his hands in while he does the smicha. If that's not an issue, right? Be honest, if you're going to tell me, be a partial entry is not an issue. Just bring his hands in and do smicha. Amar Rav Yosef, I'll tell you. Homani Rav Yosef Rav Yudahi. You know, you're assuming that he can just stand right outside, extend his hands in, do the smicha, and do the shechita right there. You can't. We need Safa. The north side of the Azara is where the animal has to be. Now, Sha'ar Niknar, what was the entry to the Azara? So as you enter the Azara, you have the area with the, which is called the Ezras Yisrael, Ezras Kehanim, and then you have, you know, the Mokam Drisas Yisrael, Mokam Drisas Kehanim. Then you have the Mizbeach. Then past the Mizbeach, you have the area called Bein Ulam. Ulam Mizbeach, between the Ulam, which is the anti-area to the Hechel, to the Mizbeach. So these karbonis, like the Chatos, the Osham, must be shechted on the north. So as you enter, it's to your right, the north of the Azara. But according to this shita, which is Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, you can't shecht the carbon as you enter the Azara. Proper tzafon means the north side of the Mizbeach, which is 22 amos away from the doorway. You have a long long trip to get to the proper area. So it's not going to be takev. So even if he sticks his hands in, even if he does smicha right then and there, you got a long trip to get to the area of the shechita. Hamani Rabbi Yisim, Rabbi Yudahi, the Amor, who says merchak tzafayim, that only the north section on the right of the Mizbeach, which is merchak, which is at a distance from the entry to the Azara, full 22 amos, is qualified for the shechita of the Ashim and the Nechatas. So that interferes with the Tekev L'smicha Shechita. So this is one exception to the rule. Here you're not going to have it. Smicha immediately followed by Shechita. Because of the time that it takes to transport the animal to the right location. Ask Gemara, what's the problem? Just have the Metzorah go around you know, the outside of the Azara, and make him a little side door so he can stick his hands in, lean on the animal, which is positioned in the right exact right place to the right of the Mizbeach. Well, the Avad Pishpish, Amabayev, Rava, they both answered. Amtavai, they both say you can't just renovate the Beis HaMikdash at will. It was all precisely and accurately described by Hashem. Hakoil bechsav miyad Hashem alai hiskel. So David HaMelech speaking. Kol melechas atav. So you can't just tinker with the structure of Beis HaMikdash. Igad Yarmid, there's another version of a teretz to this question. You know, if partial entry is not an issue, why bring the animal outside? Just stick your hands in. Amrav Yosef, you can't just do it with your hands. Smicha requires full effort, your full weight. Your entire, most of your body has to lean on the animal, so you can't just stand outside and do it from a distance. Amrav Yosef kala soimech, one of those smicha properly, roishe viruah machnes. It's the head, it's the most of the body that's involved. And that he can't do because he's still Mechusa Kippur. My time of why? Why Roishen Rubai? Kol Koicha Be'inan. Full force. His full effort is required. Hilkach Le'efshah, so it's impossible to do it from the outside. So bottom line is, we thought we had a raya, Bia B'mikdash Ma'bia, from the Aloha that says that the Metzoris, Smicha, takes place a while before the Shechita, because he's here and the Shechita is there. What's the problem? Just stick your hands in. Apparently sticking your hands in is unacceptable, because it's like entering the Yazara. No, perhaps that's not the issue. The issue is because, in any case, you can't shech the carbon right here at the entry. You have to bring it over to the Mizbeach, or the second shot would be, because it's not just about partial entry. It has to be totally or mostly on the animal. That certainly is impossible, because he's tummy. So, in conclusion, we're not going to fulfill the requirement of tekev l'smicha shechita when it comes to the asham of the Metzorah for the reasons we just explained. So the question is like this. How could we, you know, do away with a requirement, with something which is presumably critical to the process of the asham? Michael Sover, this Tana, what does he hold? Ikas Sover, if he holds smichas asham Metzorah deraisa, that menat Torah, smicha is required by the Asham of the Metzorah. That's first of all. And the second requirement, this general directive of v'tekev l'smicha shechita, smicha shechita must take place with utmost close proximity, time-wise. That's also d'oraisa. So then, the fact that Torah tells a Metzorah to bring an Asham, evidently, that's because he's allowed to go in and do a smicha. I mean, there's no other way to do it right. Le'el v'lismich, le'hedom, just go smicha properly. The Chumon Amateur told him to do that. Go into the Azara and do smich. Marvada bar Masna. You're right. Minatari should be able to do it. But there's a concern with the Rabbanon Gzera Shemayar Bebepsiyas. He might take an extra, you know, step, an extra walk. An unnecessary detour. And then he's in trouble. So technically, he can really just go in strictly for the smich and quickly leave. But he might get distracted. So we want him outside. There's another version of this teretz. Amar Rav Adbar Maso, smichas Asham Metzorah deraisa. The first halacha is required in a Torah. He has to do smicha. But the second halacha of a tekel is smicha shchita. The idea that it has to be right next to the shchita, love the rest, that's not menat Torah. So we can do away with that. We can suspend that requirement in this case. Maisvi, here comes a kash. V'samach v'shachat. Right? We had the brisa yesterday. Pasuk says v'samach, do the smich. Next pasuk says v'shachat, do the shchita. When we connect, we compare the two processes. We say mas smicha b'tahir, just like smicha must be done by a tahir. Why? We'll see in a minute. Av shchita b'tahir, likewise shchita must be performed by a person who's tahir. Now, how do we know that smicha must be performed by a tahir? The Gemara is assuming because since smicha must take place right immediately before the shchita, without any lapse of time in between. And the shechita must take place inside, of course. So certainly, the smicha, which is inside, must be performed by a tohar. Right? That's apparently the basis for this correlation. However, if you're going to tell me that the idea of tekef, immediacy, is not menat Torah, so technically menat Torah, between nami mishkachal, you can do smicha with a tome outside and bring the animal inside. Ela efachi, right? Let's switch around the brice. We're going to modify our terrors that we posed earlier. We had said that the smicha requirement for the asham is not Torah, for the asham mitzvah, but the smicha, take of the smicha shchita is not deraisa. We just disproved that. Just the opposite. Ela efach. So this relates back to our question earlier, right? We had the asham of the mitzvah where circumstantially he can't do the smicha right next to the shchita. Smicha is outside, the shchita is inside. The question was, well, look, if he's supposed to do it, do it. If the Torah requires him, then he's allowed to go in and do it. Elev, we're going to switch around now with Teretz. Smichas Asham Mitzurah Lav Deiraisa. Truthfully, the smicha of an Asham Mitzurah is not Menat Torah. Rashi explains, you know why? It's not your regular Asham, which is coming to be Machaber, to atone. This one's just Lahachsher, to enable him to finish his process of you know, purification process. It's a totally different type of carbon. You don't need smicha Menat Torah. With the Rabbanon, we do it, but not Menat Torah. So although generally smicha must be done tekef to shchita right next to the shchita, that's menat Torah. But since the smicha of the asham to begin with is not menat Torah, so we can't allow him into the azara to do smicha. So inevitably he has to do it outside and then do the shchita inside. Okay, so again, Rav Ula had presented that Bia b'miktash mo Bia. We thought we had a raya from the story of Asham Mitzora, which we sort of negated. But in any case, if you recall, yesterday we had a kash on Ula. Ula says partial entry is like full entry, and we assumed there's even kares involved. So why is it that, you know, in that story with the Mitzora, whose eighth day fell out on Erev Pesach, we allow him in, even though he also became a Baal Keri, we let him stick his fingers in to get the blood of the Korban, because Korban Pesach, which carries a potential, is a Kares, if neglected willfully, so we see it's valuable, it's weighty, overrides the Tevul Yaim, his partial entry into the Azara. We allow him in to accommodate the Korban Pesach. And the question was, what do you mean? Going to Ula, partial entry into the Azara is like full entry. It's like it's full Yom, enter the Azara. There's Kares for that as well. So, on both sides of the scale, you have a Kares consideration. Why do we favor Korban Pesach over, you know, the Isra of entering the Azara when you're Tamei? Rabina Amar Lini Malkas Itmar. Making a mistake. Ula's Chiddush, a partial entry, is considered full entry regarding a Malkas, regarding a Lav. It's a limited offense. It's not on the same level as full entry. There's no kares for that. In which case, the Korban Pesach consideration is stronger and weightier, because that has a kares potential. He also Rav and Amar Rav, when Ravin came, he quoted Rav Avo, that Rish Lakish actually never said that partial entry into the Azara is considered like full entry. No, he wasn't talking about entering. He was talking about touching. If one comes into contact with Korban material, there's Malkus. That was his point. A totally different topic, a different subject. Linian Tomish Shnuga B'Kodesh Itzmar. it was with respect to a tummy touching Kodesh, even though he's only touching partially, typically only touch with a finger, right? Two fingers. There's still malchus for that. The Itma, as we had learned. Right? So, Tamei Shenoga Kodesh Itmar. The Itma, as we have learned. Tamei Shenoga Kodesh. A person who's impure touches a carbon, touches flesh of a carbon. Rish Lakish Amar, he gets malchus like it. Rabbi Yechon Amar, like it, there's no malchus for that. Why? Rish Lakish Amar, like, how do we know malchus for touching a carbon when you're a tummy? Bechol Kodesh Laisiga, she shouldn't touch carbonis when she's tummy. There is malchus. Rabbi Yechon Amar, ain't like it, there's no malchus. Hope it's Truma, because if that pasuk is talking about touching Truma, which is a different topic. Rish Lakish asks Gemara, according to him, "Hi, Kro Lachid." Also, this pasuk just quoted B'chol Kodesh Loisiga is coming to warn against touching a carbon when you're a tamei. Isn't it coming for something else totally different? I mean, by the way, it's needed Asara Lo Ichab Sar Kodesh to warn a tamei against eating a carbon. The Itma, as we have learned, Asara Lo Ichab Sar Kodesh. Where is the warning? To warn a tummy against eating basar of kodesh, Rish Lakish Amar, this very possible, b'chol kodesh leisiga. That's his opinion. Rabbi Yechon Amar, he has a different opinion. Tani Bardli quotes a chacham by the name of Bardla. Asa, we learn from Gzeira Shava to Masa to Masa, B'yas Migdash. When one enters the Beis HaMikdash, the term to Masa is used, and there the Torah warns and punishes kareis. And over here, regarding a tummy eating karbanis, it also says the lashon to Masa. We connect Malahal, just like by entering the Migdash, Anash v'Hizr, there is a warning and a punishment stated. Afkan Anash v'Hizr, likewise over here. Regarding a person eating karbanis when he's tamei, just like there's a punishment, there is a warning against it as well. But in any case, Rish Lakish uses the pasuk B'chol Kodesh Loisiga for this, to warn against eating. How could you use the same pasuk for warning against touching? Answers the Gemara. You can learn both from the same pasuk. You know why? Tamei shenoga b'kodesh, to warn against touching, but the apki rachmana b'lashon nagia. If the Torah is only speaking about eating, could have said eat. It used the lashon of touching. B'chokodesh leisiga. That's coming to cover the isra of touching. Asar lohechol. What about the warning against eating? But the ishkas kodesh lemigdash. Because in this very same pasuk, we have a double reference. B'chokodesh leisiga, which we're learning to mean eating. How? Because the pasuk continues, "Vela midrash loisavai." She shouldn't enter the midrash when she's tummy, and we know that by entering the midrash, there's kareis. So likewise, the isra b'chol kodesh leisiga, although literally it means don't touch. Yeah, that's one thing, but it also addresses a more severe offense, which is similar, which is matching to the next offense mentioned in the pasuk, which is don't enter the midrash, which carries the isra kareis, which touching carbon doesn't, right? So apparently, the pasuk is also including another offense of eating carbon when you're tummy, which that carries issa kares, as we know from the other psukim. So we assume that the Torah is alluding to that as well. Hence, we have a warning against touching, eating, and entering the midrash, all from the same pasuk. Tanaka was say the Rish Lakish. In fact, we have a right from a bryce at the Rish Lakish. The source of a person eating karbanis betuma is from this pasuk, B'chol Kodesh Loisiga, Ashar, this is a warning, Lo'oichel, for a person whose tummy eats karbanis. Ato Oimer, Ashar, Lo'oichel, you're telling me it's a warning for this fellow who's eating, Oyeinu Ela, Lina, again, maybe it's limited to one who touches. Tamal Oimer, B'chol Kodesh Loisiga, V'la Migdash Loisavai, so we have it next to entering the Migdash. Makish Kodesh Loimigdash, the pasuk is connecting something pertaining to the material of Kachim to something pertaining to the Beis HaMigdash. Right? Chokodesh leisiga, it's the carbon. But la migdash leisavai, don't enter the migdash when you're tummy. And we connect. Ma migdash. Just like the isra, the warning regarding the migdash itself, is regarding an offense which carries a kares penalty. Davar sheyesh bo netilas neshama, there's a loss of life involved. Av kodesh, likewise, the warning regarding the kodesh material pertains to an activity which can generate loss of life. Av, and that can't be just touching. There's no loss of life for that. It's eating. Av kodesh davar sheyesh b'netilas neshama, right? V'i b'negev, it's merely referring to a fellow who's touching the carbon when he's tummy. Netilas neshama mi'ika, since when? Does that involve loss of life? There's no curse for that. Ela b'achila, apparently it's covering one who's eating as well. And on that, there's curse. One more piece, let's see. It says the Gemara, but we still need this pasuk. For a different halach. So it's unavailable. How could we say? It's coming to warn against touch, against. It's coming to warn against a tummy who eats Kodesh material before Zrika. So even though it hadn't been fully processed, if he's tummy and he eats it, he gets cursed. It as we have learned. Tummy she'achal b'sar kodesh lefnei zrika. If a tummy eats basar of kodesh before the carbon was fully processed, before Zrika. Rosh Lakish amar loike, Rosh Lakish says it's malchus. Rabbi Yechon amar loike, Rabbi Yechon says it's no malchus. What's the machlokes about? Rosh Lakish amar loike, b'chodesh le'siga. Don't eat any kodesh, even before Zrika. Lo yishna lefnei zrika. Whether it's before or after Zrika doesn't make a difference. There's Malkus. Rabbi Yechon amar loike, Rabbi Yechon says, no, there's no Malkus. Until the carbon is fully processed. And then he eats it when he's tummy. Then there's an issue. But before Zrika, it's an unprocessed carbon. Because the Tani Bardla, as Bardla a minute ago presented for us. How do we even know the Isra of a tummy eating Basar Kodesh? Asa, we learn from the Zagzei or Shava, right? Tumasa Tumasa. So just like, you know, entering the Migdash carries the Kores, likewise eating Basar of Kodesh carries Kores, and that Pasuk, which warns, which punishes, a Tomo eats Kodesh, is speaking about properly processed carbon after Zrika, so it's limited to that. Chikosa hu, and that Pasuk, that punishes a Tomo for eating carbon material. La'acha Zrika, speaking after Zrika. So Rechon says there's no Malkus for eating for a tummy eating basar kodesh before Zrika. Okay, but in any case, the main point is that Rish Lakish seems to use this pasuk Abach HaKadosh Siga as a reference to a tummy who ate basar kodesh before Zrika, which is an additional, you know, layer, another twist to the Isser. What do you mean? We need it for the basic fundamental Isser of don't eat any basar kodesh. How do we know to add even before Zrika? Says the Gemara, the same pasuk can be teaching us all things. Im kein, because it's only coming to warn against a tummy eating after Zrika. Lei makro b'kodesh. We just say b'kodesh. What's the b'chol? B'chol is coming to add. My b'chol kodesh. Oh, shmami notarti. It's coming to add the second twist as well. Whether he eats it after Zrika, before Zrika, the same law would apply. Shmami notarti. Okay, so in a nutshell, we have several machlekes b'chol Rish Lakish. So Rish Lakish is basically based on this pasuk of b'chol kodesh siga, where he learns many things. A warning against a person whose tummy eating basar kodesh after Zrika, before Zrika as well from b'chol kodesh, and even touching basar kodesh by the fact that the Torah chose to use lashon tiga le'siga to cover even physical contact. Kotei Rabbi Yechon doesn't seem to be an Isser for touching Basar Kodesh, only Truma. And regarding the Isser of eating Basar Kodesh, that's learned from the Gzeira Shava, and we don't have Malkus for a tummy eats Basar Kodesh before Zrika. All the best to you and Atzlachor.